Welcome to Nothing But the Truth with David L. Johnston.
Living without a critical spirit. A critical spirit is a negative attitude of the heart that seeks to condemn, tear down, and destroy with words. When you were a kid, you probably learned sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Let me give you a new version of it. You really need to know this one. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may break my heart. We're going to come to more details on that, short order. It's destroying people with words. It's an obsessive attitude of criticism and fault-finding, which tears down instead of building up others. Now, it comes out of the heart. An evil man out of the evil treasure of heart brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So to live your life without a critical spirit is certainly going to require dealing with our hearts. Now, just a few things about a critical spirit. It dwells on the negatives of others. It's always pointing its finger. And the problem is that it prevents us from seeing what is good in others and in the world, for that matter. It gets us in a frame of mind where that's all we see. What's wrong with people and not what's right with people. We tend to judge others by their actions, but judging ourselves by our intentions. So two different standards come into play here. One for what we say about others, one what we think about ourselves. And we're lenient on ourselves, but harsh with others. Now, a critical spirit is usually defended. People say, well, I was just being honest. Or, I just tell it like it is. Or, I'm being discerning. And so these are put forth as smoke screens to cover up the real critical condition of our hearts and of the words that we speak. Now, there are four types of critical spirit. Now, I hope you'll forgive me for going quickly, because you probably won't have any problem forgiving me for that, will you? What was I thinking of? Oh, unless you got a critical spirit, you know, like. I'm going to go fast in some of these parts because we have so much to cover today. Four types of critical spirit. Number one, there's the gossiper. And of that, scripture says they're tattle. They go around, they're busybodies. They say things they ought not to say. They're not happy as a critical person to just know the critical, but they won't tell everybody about it. And so they tell everybody about it. A talebearer reveals secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. So watch now, because we're going to learn what the opposite to a critical spirit is. And the person who doesn't have the critical spirit doesn't broadcast what's wrong with people, all the faults that he's found when he looked at other people. But he that goeth forth as a talebearer, he reveals secrets, things that they have no right to know, no need to know. And so be careful not to meddle with him. Second type is a slanderer. And he hides his hatred with lying lips, and he that utters a slander is a fool. And probably the biggest fool in the world is the fool that fools himself, would you say? And so the slanderer is taking what they think is wrong with somebody else and telling other people about it, even though it may or may not be true. A froward, that means a perverse man, sows strife. And so a person with a critical spirit stirs up trouble. They are not constructive, they are destructive. They want to make a big deal out of something that should be, in fact, hidden, or at least minimized in its broadcast. And somebody who does this can easily separate, as you can see, really good friends get separated because of this slandering. Lay aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings. That's what we're told to do. Then the third kind is a judgmental person. And here's the big problem with the judgmental. He shall have judgment, and those who do the judging will, because he has showed no mercy, he shall have judgment without mercy. And so the personal damage of the critic, the critical person, is immense because they will not receive mercy. He shall have judgment without mercy because he has showed no mercy. Because here's the deal. It's amazing how two people can see the same thing and respond totally different. One will be merciful and the other will not be merciful. Two different ways of responding. But the person who has mercy, of course, is far better off because mercy rejoices against judgment. And then the fourth kind is the complaining, grumbling, nagging. And we're instructed by scriptures to do all things without complaining and without disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, look at this, and that you may be the children of God. We are distinctly different as children of God. Now watch this, because we are going to learn this morning how to function, look at this, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation who only knows criticism, only knows how to have a critical spirit. And yet we who are the children of God, in fact, watch this, among whom you shine as lights in the world, we are going to be distinctly different because a critical spirit is not of us. It's not of God. It is what the world is all made up about. In fact, there's no news on the news anymore unless it's bad news. So those are the four kinds of spirit. Well, what are the causes of a critical spirit? What causes a person to have a critical spirit? I want to be really sensitive now. The first cause is that they were raised that way as children. Now, this is really important. Watch here now. Because if we look at this now, if we train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Watch this now. If you train up a child in the way he shouldn't go when he was old, he will probably not depart from it. That's why how we treat children is so important. If you treat a child harshly, the real message is to that child, you are not worthy of kindness. If you treat a child with unconcern, the real message to that child is, you're not important. If you reject that child, you are really saying to that child, You're not accepted. And if you taunt a child, what you're really saying to that child is you are worthy of ridicule. Remember, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can break my heart. When we are raised with a critical father or a critical mother, or if our siblings are allowed to be critical, we learn patterns that last a lifetime. That's why children are so precious, so meaningful, so loved, must be so nurtured, must be so cared for, must be give attention to this big stuff, raising children. So one of the reasons why people end up with a critical spirit is because they were raised that way. Of course, it could be that they're just selfish. Because selfishness always wants to put itself up and others down. Has no care for others. And so if you wanted to, we won't take the time to go to Galatians 5. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And almost one third of them relate to having a critical spirit. A lack of genuine self-acceptance. People who don't like themselves find things they don't like in others. All the joy that you can have, should have, when you discover that you really are a somebody already. In the opening phrases of this morning, you heard the truth. We sang it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the greatest comprehension you could ever have, the greatest consolation, is that God is your Father. A man and woman got together, there's going to be a baby, but God put the you inside the baby. He's your Father. He's called the Father Spirit. It's He that has made us and not we ourselves. We're His people and the sheep of His pasture. We're His. And God doesn't make any junk. None. And sitting here this morning, I don't know. I don't have a heart monitor that I could place on you and discover how you really feel in your heart about yourself. But whatever the case is, the greatest thing you can understand is how unique, how wonderful. Stop comparing yourself with other people. There's nobody to compare with you. You're not a clone or a copy. You're a first edition, an original. God has a specific intention for you. But people who don't know that and lack confidence in themselves. And here's the reason why. Because they're carrying a hurt, and it is usually hurt people that hurt others. A critical spirit is caused from a lack of graciousness. Now, it's interesting because we're going to come to the point here in the scripture, but the preface of it is this: lay aside malice. You got somebody you're aggravated with, mad at? Lay it aside. Lay aside all guile, bitterness, hypocrisy. And look at this. And lay aside all evil speaking. All of it. Watch it now. Okay? Because you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That's what we want to be like. In contrast with graciousness is malice, evil speaking. And so the scripture comes again and says, let your speech be always with grace. I want you not to miss this word. Always with grace. Why? So you know how to respond to every person you know and you talk to. Always with grace. Critical spirit lacks grace. Now, here's where I decided to speed it up. But a person who's a pessimist or has a secular view of life, negative person, causes them to be and have a critical spirit. Insecurity causes us to criticize others. Immaturity can be a cause of it. An unrenewed mind, because we haven't learned to think graciously, we're unrenewed. A root of bitterness causes a critical spirit. Be careful that none of you fails to respond to God's grace, because there can very easily spring a root of bitterness. And many people are going to get defiled. See? And so a root of bitterness causes a critical spirit. Bad company. If you hang out with people, if you talk on the phone to somebody who has a critical spirit, it will be contagious. We become like the company. You've heard the old adage, birds of a feather flock together. So watch out who your companion. The companion of fools shall be destroyed, but he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. And then Satan can cause a person to become critical. Why? Because he is called by the scriptures the accuser. And so what do we buy into? The satanic mode of operation of dealing with people the way Satan does. And we become critical of them and accusative. And here's another. I'm going to try and go fast here because I want to get to the meat of the session. How do we live life without developing a critical spirit? That's what we want to get to. We must understand, though. Now in Proverbs chapter 12, I think it's verse 18, that there are words that are like the piercing of a sword. We must not think of this of a person with a critical spirit or ourselves with a critical spirit as it's okay, it's tolerable, it's innocent. Not that way at all. It is destructive. Remember, sticks and stones may break the bones, but words can break a heart. And it's words. In words, the scripture says, is the power of death and the power of life. So watch here. I'm going to take you briefly through the third chapter, first 12 verses of the third chapter of James. Because words are powerful. That's the first thing we learn. The words are powerful. How do we know that? We put bits in horses' mouths that they will obey us. We turn about their whole body. Yeah. Words do what the bit does in the horse's mouth. Words are forceful. Look at this. Behold the ships. They're huge. They're great. And they're driven by fierce winds. And yet, Look at this. They are turned about with a very small helm. Wherever the captain wants, it's just this little, and the tongue is like the steering on the ship. It's forceful. It's dangerous. Even so, the tongue is a little member. And look at this. It boasts great things. Well, look at this. Look how dangerous it is. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, because the tongue can make things worse like a fire. And if you want to see that, a little fire can cause a lot of trouble. It's all over the news right now. And the tongue is just like that. A critical spirit uses words and lights a little fire here with that person, lights a little fire with that person, and all the fires start burning, and pretty soon it's a dangerous thing how we use our tongues. It's devastating. The tongue is a fire. It's not just iniquity, but it's a world of iniquity. Look at this. Watch this again. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body. Everything is affected, devastated by the tongue. Tongue is corrupting. It sets on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell. Whoa, how destructive, how corrupting the tongue is. It's untamable. The tongue can no man tame. Look at this. It's an unruly evil. Unruly. Has no regulation to it. No rules. It's deadly. It's full of deadly poison. Full. It's contaminating. Because out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. How can that possibly be true? Because, you know, a little leaven, if you put a little poison in a glass of water, the whole glass of water is poisonous. So the tongue contaminates. It's distasteful. It sends forth at the same time sweet and bitter. And, of course, the scripture says this thing ought not to be. And lastly, we find that the tongue can be contradictory. It can say one thing one moment, another thing the next. And so it gives us this analogy. Can a fig tree bear olives and either vine figs? So no fountain can have both. And so these are the dangers of the tongue, and these are the weapons now that destroy. And a critical spirit is the use of words to tear down, destroy, damage others. All right. Now, I want to turn the corner and explain as best I can to you how you can live without having a critical spirit. So I want you to watch the intelligence monitor with me. And I had commentary from a good brother who said every time you say that, they look at the monitor, they don't look at you. They don't make a mistake about which one's intelligent. he was just being his own natural telephone for himself. Okay, watch here now. See? That'll teach you. So watch this diagram. Because the mind is what you think. The emotions are what you feel. And the will is the choices you make. What you think, what you feel, how you choose. Okay? Now, watch with me, and let's assume for a moment that some nasty thing, somebody says something ugly to you, and it comes into your mind. Now, watch what happens. Watch the screen with me. The mind will process that. And what it does is create an emotion to go along with it. Because feelings come from the thoughts we think. Okay? And I watch you now. And then the emotion tells the will how to choose. And then the will makes a choice. So something happens. The mind processes it, tells the emotions how to feel. And then the feelings tell the will how to choose. And that's what happens. Now, I want to go to a different diagram, the next one to you, and show you the difference. The former heart was blank. This heart has God's Spirit in it. Okay? Now watch what happens now. Because this is how to live your life without having a critical spirit. So we still have the same bad thing being said or done to us. Now watch the screen. Watch the monitor. This is really important. The difference now is that the Holy Spirit in us gives us a different way of processing the same event. God, God's Word, God's Spirit in us enables the mind to process the same nasty event, comment that was made to you, in a different way. Now watch the screen again. And now what happens is the mind has a different message for the emotions. And of course, the emotions now have a different message to the will, which makes the choice. And then what happens? I hope I've gone too fast with this. Now the will is going to make a different kind of a choice. Now, for those of you who were here a few weeks ago, we talked about walking after the flesh versus walking after the Spirit. The first diagram was what it means to walk after the flesh. Something comes inbound that's not nice, the mind reacts to it, the emotions go down and cause the will to make a choice. Yeah, and usually it's do back to others what was done to us. Or let's do it even worse. Let's punch even harder. Let's counter this thing. However, those of us who are learning, and I want you to grasp this morning that as you learn to walk after the Spirit, after the instruction of God's Word, now we have the same incoming, but the mind has got a new input channel, and it processes the information differently. For example, it says, see, the old mind said, if you get evil, do evil back. The new mind says, return good for evil. If somebody curses you, what do? We bless them. So we function totally different. I want to suggest to you that without following the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we will carry a critical spirit. Because God comes to teach us to treat others the way He treats us. And He never wounds our spirit. So, how do we develop a caring spirit? Now, before I don't want you to miss the simplicity. The way to live life without a critical spirit is to develop a caring spirit. That's the answer. We are developing the opposite to a critical spirit, which is a caring spirit. So somebody may say the same thing to us, but now, instead of being critical, now we care. That's what we want to do, because that's the way to conquer a critical spirit, is to have a caring spirit. Here we go. Number one. First of all, notice what Scripture says about this. That we are to have the same care one for another. And I want you not to miss this. Care. There should be no difference to anybody in the body. In Even if somebody in the body mistreats you, does something nasty to you, we are to respond back to them with care. And I'll show you how it works in just a moment. But it's all about developing a caring spirit versus a critical spirit. So what we do now is we want to build up instead of tearing down. We don't have an option on this. Now, this word edifying means to, like an edifice is a structure of building. There's some big ones in New York, a few downtown here, and you actually live in an edifice of some measure. It's a building. It's a structure. And watch this now, because we are following the Spirit of God and not the ways of the world. We're not following the critical spirit. We're following a caring spirit. And watch this now. This is really the big phrase. Let all things, like not some of them, not one or two of them, not a token amount of them, but every single thing, all things are be done to construction. That's what God is like. That's why they call him Redeemer. He came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved. He doesn't come to discourage. He comes to encourage. He doesn't come to put you down. He comes to lift you up. He doesn't come to curse you. He comes to salvage you. And so he says, hey, I want you to be just like me. And no matter who does what, and no matter who says what to you, your response should always be to build them up. Obviously, if they said something nasty to you, they're in really bad shape. They need somebody who meets their bad shape condition with care, not criticism. Let everything be done unto edifying. In fact, it gets into the use of words. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. We don't say anything back to them. We don't say anything about them. Watch this now. No corrupt communication, because we'd be doing the same thing back to them. But we are to communicate that which is good to the purpose, to the use of edifying, building them up. They're already down, or they wouldn't have said to you what they said or done to you what they've done. They're in bad shape. If they're going to meet with a Christian, they're going to meet with somebody who, in spite of what they've said or done, are motivated at the basic fundamental levels of the heart to give care to them, not criticism. Now watch this. Zero corrupt communication. Don't come out of your mouth. But instead, that which is good to the use of building that person up, not tearing them down. Watch it now. And so that what comes out of your mouth may minister grace to the hearer. They need grace. Have you ever needed grace? That's how God treats us. So, someone with a caring spirit versus a critical spirit is someone who intends and carries out the building up of that person and not the tearing down. Now watch this. Because this is, okay, watch this now. Look at the rest of this verse. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Look at your diagram. The one with the, I tried to put a dove in there to represent God. Watch this now. So, back to that. In fact, maybe I got the diagram here. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit in here. No corrupt communication. Only come out of your mouth. But only that which is good to the purpose of building that person up. That it may build. And look, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, if you say no to the Holy Spirit, our reaction to their offenses are going to be as if we're walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit. So, and here's some more instruction. All bitterness, all wrath. Yeah, I'm right and he's wrong. All evil speaking, all of it, be put away from you with all malice. Because now we are people with a caring spirit instead of a critical spirit. And be kind. That's what a caring spirit does. Watch. Be kind. Watch. Be tender-hearted. It's the opposite. The hardness. And watch this. And be, look at this. Be forgiving one of another. If we do not forgive somebody, they have a hook in us. They're in our thoughts. They're in our words. They're miles away or wherever. But unforgiveness allows them to have a hook. A hook that demands that we react back to them. Instead, what you want to do by forgiving, watch what happens when you forgive. When you forgive, now the hook is transferred to God. How so? Because he says, "Revengeance is mine. I will repay," saith the Lord. And by forgiveness, we neutralize the power of the other person over us. No hook in us. No being consumed. Caught up with their whatever they did to us. Now, what's interesting about this is the scriptures give us an analogy here. Be kind. Be tender-hearted. We're talking about this person who's done you bad, right? And forgiving to them. And do it even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Do for them the way he's done it for you. So, a caring spirit is someone who builds up instead of tearing down. And more verses about this edifying thing. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. No matter what they've done, do good for their building up. Because obviously, they demonstrated they really need help. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace. Now watch this. And follow after the thing. Follow after the things wherewith we may edify another person. How can we build them up because we saw what terrible condition they were in by their words, their comments, their actions, their attitude, whatever. Our job is sort of like the Lord's job of redemption, building them back up again. That's developing a caring spirit. Then we develop a caring spirit by always speaking graciously. Already referred to this verse, No corrupt communication out of your mouth, but only that which is good, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Always speak graciously. Always deal kindly with forgiveness. Same scriptures. Always deal kindly. Now watch. If there's no forgiveness, you're going to have a hard time being kind. So we just pay the deal. We just write it out. And we deal with them kindly. And now we want to develop a servant spirit instead of a dominating spirit. A servant spirit versus a dominating spirit. The dominating spirit wants to control, manipulate. And that's why it becomes critical, because it's intent on putting everything down to lift itself up because it wants to dominate. On the other hand, a caring spirit wants to elevate, redeem, help the other person recover, lift them up. He that is greatest among you, let him be as if he were the younger. And he that is the chief, as he that doth serve. What's interesting is the next verse, Jesus says, that's the way I came unto you. I didn't ask you to serve me. I came to serve you. I came to serve. Develop a serving spirit. Follow the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is the law and the prophets. And if we follow these things, we will develop a caring spirit. Well, what does this look like, this caring spirit? So let's get some of the characteristics down. Number one, a person who has a caring spirit knows his own weaknesses, his own shortcomings. And he wants to deal with them. And that's why he prays like David, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the right way that's everlasting. Caring spirit knows its own shortcomings. And then a caring spirit has compassion. And I put the word functional in here because it's very important. Functional compassion towards others. Sometimes we think of compassion as just having a sympathetic, empathetic feeling. But functional means, see, really, compassion is doing what it takes to heal another person. So how do we do that? Put on as the elect of God, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Forbearing that other person. Forgiving one another. Now watch this. Because it's dealing with anyone who has a quarrel against you. So you've got a quarrel going on. What do we do? Well, before, when you have a critical spirit, it's a competition of who can convince the most people how bad the other person is. This sort of does remind you about the political situation in America right now, doesn't it? Everybody say, God, help America. Amen. God, whoa. Let's see who can badmouth the other the most. That's what a critical spirit does. But a caring spirit, caring about the other person, carries such a compassionate disposition that it does something about it. Well, the classic illustration, of course, would be, remember the man on the way from Jerusalem to Jericho fell among thieves and was beaten and robbed and left for dead. Priest came by, walked on the other side. Levite came by, walked on the other side. And then came a Samaritan who usually had no dealings with the Jews. Remember? And so he stopped, got off his horse, donkey, gave the guy something to drink, bandaged his wounds, put him on his donkey, took him off to the local hotel, paid the bill, said, when I come back, if it costs more to help this guy, I will. That's functional compassion. Doing something. It's overcoming evil by doing good. And now, a caring spirit also clarifies the heartfelt needs of others. What's going on in that other person? They're not willing to talk about it, probably. They're probably living in disguise. Nobody knows they're hurt, and they're not about to tell anybody. But when you have a caring spirit, and you approach that person gently and tenderly, forgivingly, and you're careful to make sure that what the words come out have to do with building him up and not putting him down any further than he already is, you want to find out, where are they hurting? What is their need, really? So how do you do this? Counsel. And the heart of man is like a deep water. This guy is like, needs counsel. It's like deep water. And a man of understanding will draw it out. We are so used to, how are you today? Well, I'm fine. How's it going? Pretty good. And usually if somebody asks me how I am, I say, I'm behaving myself. And then I usually add, and I wish my wife would believe it, or something like that, you know. But our conversations are so, they're this deep. The caring spirit wants to know what's in the depth of that person. Where is the damage? Where is the hurt? Where is the wound? What can I do about that? Heartfelt needs for others. Caring spirit shows genuine acceptance of others, even if they appear weak, immature, undeveloped, unskilled. When you care about them, there's no rejection. Instead, it's really engaging and accepting of them. And should I say this carefully, especially those who are still seem to be carnal, if they're Christian at all. What should we do? Just stand back, point our finger like a critical spirit and call them down, say, hey, not for real. No. If somebody is weak, and that weakness got manifested because they said something nasty to you or did something to you, right? That demonstrated their weakness. A caring spirit means, whoa. We view that offense as a signal to reach into their heart and help and heal. So we accept them. I accept that they're still weak. They still got faults. I accept that. Now watch this, because there's the next phrase, and this is verse 1. I want you to see what verse 3 says about the same person. For God hath received him. So if God accepts this person, should we not? A caring spirit shows genuine acceptance. It sees God-given worth in others. I don't know where this came from, but and years ago, we used to have dolls that were garbage kid dolls. It was horrible. We have lost track of the value of every human soul. We have lost, it seems, track of the fact that they are going to live forever somewhere. And that's why the scriptures come along and says, I want you to esteem others better than yourself. I want you to care about them. So Jesus tells a story. He says there's 5 sparrows. They only cost 1 farthing, 2 farthings. And look at this. Not one of them is forgotten before God. Not one sparrow. I love this. Remember the song? I mean, nobody can sing it like Anita. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know he watches me. God's the only one that visits the funeral of a sparrow. He sees every sparrow fall. Not forgotten of God. And Jesus comes along and said, "Fear not, ye are more valuable than many sparrows." In fact, you're so important that even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And I don't want you to get this wrong. Just because Doc doesn't have as many hairs as you doesn't mean he's less valued. All right. A caring spirit praises the positives in other people. Oh, I tell you what, this kind of wisdom is from above. It is full of mercy, full of good fruits. It's careful not to wound others. Did Jesus have a critical spirit or a caring spirit? What was he? Did the Pharisees have a caring spirit or a critical spirit? Am I going to have a caring spirit or a critical spirit? Does that mean we'll never have to confront somebody about some... Jesus confronted people about their wrongs. But when you do it from care, you will get a right response. When you do it from being critical, they'll react. It doesn't work. Careful not to wound others. Caring spirit sees unmet needs in other people. So, move with compassion. And then lastly, a caring spirit relies on God's word and God's spirit. Now watch this, because with this I close. Because we have not received the spirit of the world, which is the critical spirit. But we have received the spirit which is of God. And watch here now. And it affects how we speak. Let's go back up. We've not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And this, what we've got from God is how we speak. Watch this now. We do not speak in the words which men's wisdom teach, but instead we speak that which the Holy Ghost teaches. But the natural man does not receive things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. You can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. And I should have had my diagram inserted right there. I want you to go to the right diagram, third page. See, the natural man does not receive the input from the Spirit of God, so he doesn't react to the offenses and the others outside, influenced by God's word or by God's Spirit. But a caring spirit is one that is modified, controlled, directed, governed by God's word and God's spirit. And so we look at people way differently. We wear a different pair of glasses. We don't have mud all over them and speck. So when we look at people, we see all their flaws. We do what God does with us. He looks beyond our faults to see our needs. And that's what a caring spirit does versus a critical spirit.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.
What if you live with critical people? What if you always have somebody pointing a finger at everything you do and fault finding? What should you do about it? How do you handle that? I think that's kind of important too, so we may get to that. Well, I hope this has been helpful to you this morning, because